A Jerusalem that fell because of hatred between Jews can only be restored through kinship among Jews. A people that fell apart because its members caused hunger to one another can only be made whole if Jews now seek to take away the hunger of one another. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 89, The Last Passover in the Temple. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is the now famous opening of the central portion of the Seder, clearly added to the Haggadah after the destruction of Jerusalem. For it is a passage that reflects on exile and the paradox of marking the festival of freedom even as persecution of Jews takes place. The reader of the Haggadah intones, "All who are hungry come and eat. All that need Passover come mark Passover with us. Now we are here. May we next year be in the land of Israel. Now we are slaves. May we next year be free." Yet these sentences seem to embody a seeming series of non sequiturs. What is the connection between feeding the hungry and the end of exile, the return to the land of Israel? The answer to this question can be found if we return to the beginning of the exile, the destruction of the temple, which in truth can itself be traced to the last festival of freedom that was marked in the temple itself. As we have seen, the Jewish revolt against Rome began in 66 CE. It is traditionally considered to have come to a close with the destruction of the temple in the Jewish month of Av in the year 70, or alternatively with the fall of Masada in the year 74. But as we have also seen, as bloody as the battle with Rome may have been, Jerusalem was torn from within during this period by battles among the Jews themselves. When we last left off, Jerusalem was divided into three anti-Roman forces, led by Jewish leaders who hated each other. These three factions held different sections of Jerusalem. One faction led by Shimon bar Giora held much of the city. Yochanan of Gush Halav, or John of Giskila, held the outer Temple Mount, known as the Har HaBayit, while his rival among the Zealots, Eleazar or Eleazar bar Shimon, oversaw the inner Mikdash. These Jewish troops, utilizing catapults and weaponry that they had captured from the Romans, were shooting at each other. Now that we have the summary for which I am indebted to the book, A Temple in Flames, we are able to picture the terrible scene. Every day the temple service was ongoing. Sacrifices were offered on the altar. At the same time, arrows were flying. Jews were shooting at Jews. The blood of Jews in the temple was mixing with the blood offered on the altar. Meanwhile, as we've also mentioned, the true enemy of the Jews, the Romans, could not believe their good fortune. Vespasian, as Josephus reports, initially refrained from launching a final assault on Jerusalem because he believed correctly that his own work was being done by his foes. In December of the year 69, Vespasian was proclaimed emperor, and he had already placed the battle against Jerusalem in the hands of his son Titus. Titus prepared to lay final siege to Jerusalem in the year 70, as Jews from all over were streaming into Jerusalem during the spring for the holiday of Pesach, Passover. But how does one bring the Paschal offering when the temple complex itself was divided among factions? As a seeming show of goodwill, Eleazar or Eleazar bar Shimon, leading the faction occupying the Azara, the courtyard where the Paschal lamb was to be offered, agreed to allow members of the rival factions to enter the inner sanctum and offer the Paschal sacrifice. His enemy, Yochanan of Gush Halav, used that opportunity on Passover to seize the temple and kill his rivals. Thus, as the Jews gathered within the temple courtyard to engage in what is supposed to be a festival of covenantal love and loyalty, the moment was marked by Jews attacking and killing Jews in the most sacred of sites. Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik has noted that if, from its very beginning in Egypt, the Paschal lamb was to be eaten in groups, it is because the ritual was meant to form free members of a nation loyal to each other, or as he put it, quote, "a new fellowship was formed around the Paschal lamb, a new community sprang into existence. Being together, living with each other, sharing something many possess in common, was made possible by the ceremonial of the Paschal lamb," end quote. Yet, in the year 70, Jews bringing the Paschal lamb, or purportedly bringing the Paschal lamb, turned on one another. Meanwhile, after Yochanan succeeded in destroying the rival faction, the leaders of the rebellion suddenly noticed, on Passover, that Titus was setting up his siege of the city. Indeed, scholars suggest that Titus had specifically waited for Passover because he knew that so many Jews would be entering the city in the day before. The city fell because so many were within it, because the multitudes that had arrived soon after had nothing to eat, and the inhabitants of the city had nothing to eat because in the weeks leading up to Passover, the rival factions, seething with hatred for one another, had done the unthinkable. They had set fire to each other's storages of food. After spending the beginning of the holiday attacking each other, the Jews of Jerusalem suddenly came to the realization that there was nothing to eat. Thus Josephus writes of Yochanan of Gush Chalav, quote, "To which other parts of the city he," meaning Yochanan, "turned, he never failed to set fire to the homes that were stocked with grain and supplies of every kind. When he withdrew, Simon advanced and followed his example. It was as if to oblige the Romans they were destroying all that the city had laid up against a siege and hamstringing their own powers." And Josephus adds, "Almost all the grain, enough to support them through many years of siege, went up in flames. It was hunger that defeated them, a thing that could never have happened if they had not brought it about themselves." End quote. Thus, the flooding of the city on Passover set the stage for Jerusalem's fall. One of the eerie aspects of the Jewish calendar as it stands today, one noted by many rabbis, is the fact that the day of the Seder each year always comes out on the same day of the week as the 9th of Av, when Jews mourn the destruction. Indeed, the tradition among some Jews of eating eggs at the Seder table seems to have been linked to the fact that eggs were seen as a food of mourning traditionally eaten before the 9th of Av fast. Thus, throughout Jewish history, Passover and the destruction have been linked, and we can now understand why this is so. The final siege began on Passover, the violence in the temple on Passover, Jews killing Jews on the holiday that marked the formation of a nation, is what led straight to the destruction of the temple. The final Passover and the destruction of the temple are interconnected. The reason why Jews throughout the last two millennia were not able to observe Passover in the temple is linked to what occurred on Passover 70 CE. And that, perhaps, is supposed to haunt us just a bit, even now, when every year we sit down to our Seder. Passover is meant to be the embodiment of members of the chosen nation unified by eating together. Instead, in the days leading up to Passover 70 CE, Jews burned each other's stores of food. And then, precisely because there were so many Jews who had entered Jerusalem right before the siege to celebrate the holiday, Jerusalem fell to hunger. Dr. Lawrence Schiffman once put it this way, describing the destruction of the temple, or in Hebrew, Beis HaMikdash, quote, "Pesach, Passover, played a role in the final defeat of the Jews and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in 70 CE. And he adds, Josephus tells us that during the Roman siege of Jerusalem, 97,000 people were taken captive and 1,100,000 were killed. He explains his large number as resulting from the fact that the final assault took place around the time of Pesach, when so many Jews were present and were suddenly caught in the clasp of the Roman army. The final siege did indeed last from sometime in April through August, ending on Tisha B'Av. Pesach was the last festival observed in the second Beis HaMikdash," end quote. Our reflections, ladies and gentlemen, allow us to discover new meaning in the precise phrasing of this important passage in the Haggadah, the stanza said century after century in Aramaic, that was added after Jerusalem's fall. All who are hungry, come and eat. All who need Passover, please participate. Now we are here, next year the Holy Land. Now we are slaves. Next year we will hopefully be free. Knowing the link between Passover and the destruction, knowing how the failure to appreciate the lessons of Passover led directly to the destruction, comprehending the connection between civil war and enforced hunger and the ultimate fall of Jerusalem, knowing, as Josephus wrote, that it was hunger that defeated them, knowing all this, can it be any surprise that this stanza was added to the Haggadah after Jerusalem fell? A Jerusalem that fell because of hatred of brothers, and the meaning of the passage in the Haggadah, "All who are hungry, come and eat," teaches us the following. A Jerusalem that fell because of hatred between Jews can only be restored through kinship among Jews. A people that fell apart because its members caused hunger to one another can only be made whole if Jews now seek to take away the hunger of one another. A Paschal sacrifice lost because Jews failed to appreciate the unity it embodied can only be regained if Jews embody that unity. Rabbi Soloveitchik once wrote about this passage in the Haggadah that it embodies, quote, "the renewal of a pledge of solidarity among the Jewish people, solidarity between individual and individual, and between the individual and the Jewish community as a whole. It is a proclamation that we are one people and that we are ready to help one another," end quote. The passage, I would suggest, was added to the Haggadah after the destruction of Jerusalem in order to inspire Jews to rectify the past. Jews everywhere sought to learn the lesson of Jerusalem's fall. Having lost Jerusalem, they began the most important part of the Seder with a pledge of Jewish fellowship and hoped that in the merit of that pledge, they would see the fulfillment of the prayer that concluded the Seder next year in Jerusalem. What is amazing, if I may give away part of the story we will tell in the future, is this. In 1948, Jewish Jerusalem was also besieged, and rationing was taking place. And one rabbi, Shlomo Goren, insisted that the matzah being set aside for the holiday for Jerusalem's Jews be shared with the soldiers defending the city, so that the festival of freedom be marked by the heroes defending Jewish Jerusalem. All who are hungry come and eat, this year free, this year in the land of Israel. The Passover of Jerusalem 70 CE marked the coming destruction of 70 CE, but we know that the story of Jerusalem has so many more wondrous moments yet to come. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, wishing you a luminous final day of Chanukah. Signing off.